Welcome to Equity Gurus A Closer Look, where your host, Ethan Reyes, gives you an in-depth view of some of the best and brightest companies operating in the small cap space today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Hey there, gurus. I'm sitting here with Nikita Alexandrov, CTO of ThinkMyCo. I know in Russian, this is the second vowel that has the most emphasis. Did I say that okay?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Just for some background, me and Nikita met at the Cambridge House X Futures event. It was a lot of stuff going on, especially around the world of psychedelics. Nikita, just give us the elevator pitch. You know, tell us a little bit about what you're doing in the space.
Yes, I'm a founder of ThinkMyCo, but I also have a great group of founders from all kinds of different areas of industry, and we've all come together to make a giant bet on mushrooms as a whole. We see the future market for us and our operations as something like a $500 billion industry in the next 10 years. So we've made a very kind of intricate business model with the right people in the right places to capitalize on that. So we're doing three things. The first is mushroom growing technology. We believe we can drop the cost of growing mushrooms to a point where it's gram for gram and dollar for dollar competitive with beef as a protein source. That's really exciting. If we see at pilot scale the same stuff that we see in lab trials, it's going to be a total disruptor for the whole mushroom growing market. So to leverage that forward, we've created a consumer products line. We have a lion's mane meat replacement jerky. So that's incredibly nutritious. It's got a very similar nutrient profile to beans. So it is a meat replacement source, a protein source, among other things. We're excited because it has neurogenic properties. Lion's mane release compounds in the brain called neurotrophic growth factors, which are like steroids for the brain. And pharma has been trying to do that for 20 years and has never been successful in the treatment of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. But these compounds can do that with no side effects. And we also have a bit of a nutraceutical line leveraging those same compounds and some synergetic herbs, which we'll be releasing very shortly. The last thing we do is probably the most relevant to the space we're talking about, which is neurogenic drug development. So neurogenic drugs encompass quite a few baskets in the healthcare space. It encompasses the $80 billion or so spent on mental health medication, the $150 billion or so spent on therapy, the maybe $50 to $60 billion spent on neurovascular and neurodegenerative diseases. And there's also a $3 or $4 billion cognitive enhancement market. So we really think this field of neurogenics applies across all of those and opens a $300 billion market. And psychedelics are only a very small part of that. We're learning from psychedelics about the brain and about neuropharmacology and making things better. The recreational psychedelic market, which everybody's excited about, is it's like $20 billion projected. Everyone keeps saying that this is the next cannabis rush, and you guys will be the next canopy. You know, this is already three times bigger than cannabis on day zero, and we're not going to be the next canopy. We're going to be the next rush.
That's really a lot to unpack there. But yeah, you know, I hear a lot about, you know, people throwing figures around, you know, this many billion, that many billion, we're going to go after the antidepressant market. Moving away from all that for a second, I really just want to talk about, you know, one of the things that struck me in our conversations yesterday was just, you know, this isn't cannabis, not exactly. I take your word on it. Very different. You know, just one difference, I guess, being like, you know, it's not a consumer package good. It's not something you're not going to go to the dispensary, or at least with a lot of these companies. You know, you're not going to pull it off the shelf. It's like a service. You know, you'll take it in a controlled environment. A lot of times with, you know, psychotherapy sessions. You know, in not so many words, like, tell us more about like what we don't get about, you know, the space.
That's a great way to put it. So yeah, you know, a lot of the people in the capital markets are approaching this from a cannabis mentality, you know, growing, distribution, controlling the supply chain, service models like dispensaries and clinics. And that will be valid in the psychedelic space, you know, after legalization. You know, you will have whatever, a $20 billion recreational market, but you know, that's not the potential, and the recreational market will be immediately commoditized by GMP, psilocybin, and things like wild magic mushrooms. GMP psilocybin is pennies a dose. You could sell it for a quarter and turn an enormous profit. So the economics aren't there, especially when you consider that it's not a constant use thing like cannabis is. So we're excited more about the the doors this field is opening and the exciting things going on in neuropharmacology and the future.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, one of the big, as I said, one of the big figures, you know, the projection of this market is this big. I was speaking to another executive from, not a competitor exactly, but someone else in the space, and they said the SSRI, the antidepressant market, is something that, besides having a low efficacy, you know, it's costing a lot of money, so we want to go after that. But you threw a figure around that was, you know, $500 billion or something, I believe, because you're not just going after, you know, depression, but also PTSD. I saw on your website, Alzheimer's, I believe, you know. It's really crazy. Tell us more about, like, you know, how maybe... It's just so interesting to me that maybe the solution of these things isn't something designed in the lab, but something that's been here all along.
Yeah, that aspect is incredibly exciting. I mean, we're learning from all these plants and fungi and known psychoactive compounds and traditional uses. The $500 billion figure, you know, I know that sounds a bit ridiculous, but that encompasses the, $300 billion neurogenics market. For us, you know, there's also a $100, $200 billion nutraceuticals market, and then there's what Barclays projecting to be a $150 billion meat replacement market in 10 years. So you combine all those, extrapolate out to 10 years, and easily a $500 billion that a market that we have an opportunity to play inside of.
I mean, I'm a huge Beyond Meat guy myself. I mean, like, I know they're not great for you, but I love eating them, you know, I can't help it. So for sure, I mean, I'll first mushroom burger, you know, I'll be happy to give that a bite. You know, if you want to make me be a guinea pig, you know,
excited about that, because we do see the fact that consumers are agnostic as to where their protein comes from. They'd rather it come from other sources. The meat industry is $200 billion dominated by 10 firms. I mean, if there was another industry that used 70% of fresh water, 30% of land, and was that consolidated and people wanted solutions, it would be immediately destroyed. And that's kind of the same with the mental health industry. It's an enormous industry, but as you can see in the east side, they're dumping $1 million a day there, and they're not getting the results they want to see. So, you know, these models are broken. And as an entrepreneur, that's really exciting, because that just means you have an opportunity to change everything and do well financially while you're doing that.
For sure. I mean, not to get too personal, but yeah, I've done my fair share of SSRIs, even like ones that aren't like an SNRI. I tried one time. It doesn't work. You get sweaty, dry mouth. I mean, you know, forget that. But I did go up to, I took a little road trip the other week, and I did some psilocybin, and it was a really great experience. I haven't done them in a long time, and it's amazing the effect that it can have on you without giving you dry mouth or some other side effects I won't go into here. You're a really interesting guy, Nikita. You're a lot different than some of the mining guys I talked to, or even some of the cannabis guys. Like, tell us a little bit about your journey with these substances, and, you know, maybe not to get too personal if you don't want to, but, you know, just tell us a little bit about what they've brought to you.
Yeah, so I'll just speak to your first point, you know, the sure. SSRIs and our current model of treating these diseases. It's incredibly barbaric what we're doing. I mean, we're blocking reuptake of critical neurotransmitter systems across the board, and these drugs are marginally better than placebo. We're doing really damaging things to the brain, and it's not causing any upsides. And people like you constantly come up to me and tell me the amazing life-changing experiences they've had with traditional psychedelics, not even these next generation neurogenics we're looking at. And it's been incredible. I've yet to have somebody come up to me and said, you know, I was depressed, anxious, PTSD, and I tried it and it made it worse, or it didn't work. I mean, everybody has a glowing experience. So in terms of my journey, you know, I have at some point had some experiences. It's not a part of my life that's very large. It's something, you know, many, many years ago, but it was very impactful, and what I experienced there helped me understand the value of kind of the next generation of what comes after psychedelics, and that's neurogenics and cognitive enhancement. And I think we have a very real possibility in the next 10, 15 years to start opening doors in the mind, which we don't even know about.
Right. There's that, you know, people say you only use 20% of your brain at one time. So, you know, maybe we can get to 40 with some of these substances.
That's what we're excited about.
I'm excited about that too, for sure.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes. You can do it through Google Play. You can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back. You've got pilot facility It's been the location's been selected here in Vancouver. What's going to be done there? Is it more along the lines of the nutraceuticals or like the protein replacement?
Yeah, for now it's our office. We're building out a world-class mycological lab in there. You know, I've been involved in that industry for at least 12 years. Some of the other guys on my team even longer. So we've really seen how to do things properly. So our strain bank is located there, building out the mycological facility. We have a two floors. The downstairs floor is for prototyping and pilot scale production. So we're going to be building the technologies that enable us to grow mushrooms so cheaply and proving them out in-house at small scale. And then we have some strategic partnerships that will prove those out in field trials. Once we get enough data to show that our technology is this disruptive, then it's kind of game on and we can focus more on developing new nutraceuticals and bioprospecting, increasing our strain bank, and pushing our neurogenics drug development programs harder than we are now.
The coolest thing I know about mushrooms is that it's pronounced fungi. That's the extent of my knowledge. You've got quite the background in mycology. What attracted you to this field?
That's a really cool question. I was always attracted to science. I was a kid that had kind of a chemistry lab under the stairs until he blew it up and his parents got mad at him. And so mycology was always interesting to me because there's just an unlimited source of innovation. We only know 10% of them. And of those 10%, it's like at least $100 billion of industry and medicine and other stuff that utilize those. Finding another 3%, which wouldn't be unrealistic for a serious operation, would open so many doors, things we can't even comprehend. The fungal biotechnology we've seen in the last 10 years kind of slides under the radar, but it is some of the most innovative technology in biocontrol, food production, medicines, particularly antivirals. The U.S. military quarantined an entire forest for national security purposes because they found some really valuable antivirals in the agaricon mushrooms. And we've done a lot of bioprospecting and we found at least 10 strains of agaricon here, which is very significant. We'll be looking at those.
Well, as long as it doesn't go the way of the Last of Us, that'll be pretty good. I had a cake today and it was made with reishi, more for relaxation, lion's mane, the keying in, focusing. I didn't even know about these substances. Like you could just work them into your diet. Like, do you use them for like pre-workout? Like, how does this work into your diet?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've been passionate about this field and I've been using these compounds since before anybody had heard of them. I've been taking cordyceps for the last 12 years or so every day. And back then people were looking at me like I was crazy. They're saying, why are you spending so much time studying this weird fungi that only grows in the middle of nowhere on a mountain? And, it's like, well, you guys will see the potential now. Everyone's waking up to the potential. So, yeah, I do take cordyceps every single day as kind of a baseline immune booster. I notice a lot of positive effects from it. It does seem to have some cognitive balancing properties, like when you're starting to get really hungry and you can't think straight. I notice on the days that I miss my cordyceps, that becomes a bigger problem, whereas the days that I'm taking cordyceps, I don't have that kind of hangriness, as they say. There's been years of my life where I've taken high dose cordyceps every day and haven't got a cold and haven't gotten sick. And then there's been times where I lost my bottle or I was traveling, took a week off and started getting a cold. So I've noticed effects. Not everybody that takes it notices immediate effects, but it's been an important part of kind of my nutrition.
I got to start working it into my diet. I've got this, my apologies to the listeners. I've got this awful throat thing going on. I need to, start taking some more cordyceps.
Yeah, it'll help because cordyceps has compounds in it which are adenosides. They look like DNA fragments actually, but they're slightly modified. So as the virus slides around, copying itself and looking at your DNA, it hits that cordycepin compound and it just goes haywire. So, some of the antiviral properties in mushrooms, you look at them and you look at antivirals that pharma's developed and it's essentially the same thing, but they have a much higher safety profile than natural product.
So you guys recently finished your seed round of financing, spore round, maybe.
That's a cute way to put it, yeah.
We can cut that. You guys are and you're planning to go public in the very near term?
Yeah, we put a little cash into the company to kick off operations and do a few exciting things, which I won't talk about today.
Sure.
And Yeah, we're refinancing very shortly in the next 30, 60 days. We've got a lot of excitement, and unfortunately, we're going to have to probably turn quite a few people away. But we do have an IPO plan in the next 6 months. You know, actually, we've had so much feedback. We've been talking about alternative types of financing, maybe a more American style, but I suspect we'll be going public here in the next 6 months.
That's really cool. I'm super excited about this industry. There's a lot of potential here. I know a lot of it's under wraps, so I'm not going to try and get you in trouble here, but tell us what the future holds. Can you give us any sneak peeks?
Yeah, we're doing some great stuff. So we've developed kind of our second generation therapeutic based on psilocybin. It's what we consider the best form of delivery for psilocybin. So it's a compound which leverages a huge amount of different chemical or molecular tricks, and including the entourage effect, where you see multiple different tryptamines behaving together to increase efficacy. And we've seen that in animal models that it's much better than pure psilocybin. So we finished that. We're ready to take that into preclinicals. Our model is to leverage strategic partnerships. That way, we don't have the traditional high costs of going into clinicals. So for us, partnerships are critical, and we have a huge number of partnerships in development and with names you would recognize. And we're so excited to be able to announce those in the future. But everything is currently kind of under wraps.
We'll be keeping our ears open, ears to the street. Nikita Alexandrov, CTO, Think Myco. Thank you very much. Спасибо.
Yeah, спасибо большое.
Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to A Closer Look with Ethan Reyes. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.